Hello, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and I'm going to take you through the inventory optimization chapter. In the first chapter, we are going to cover the subject of inventory management and overview. The topics covered are traditional inventory management, what is supply chain? I'm sure you people know it, but we will just revise it once again. Supply chain for services, how it's different from supply chain for manufacturing. Inventory management, how it improves the efficiency of supply chains. So, inventory management is critical to the business, as all inventory is blocked capital, and proper management can help reduce this capital and improve the bottom line. So basically, inventory is a necessary evil. If you're holding high inventory, you're blocking your capital. The working capital that a company has is blocked by way of the current assets. In this case, it will be the inventory. So while it is necessary to hold the inventory, we focus on how we can reduce this inventory. So in the traditional inventory management, to stay competitive, the business unit sets four objectives. And what are those? To provide the best customer service, obviously, because any company which needs to be successful has to provide exceptional customer service. Lower the production cost, because production cost will decide your profits, your margins. So lower the cost, you make more margin. The price is decided by the market, but the cost is decided by the organization. So the lower cost you keep, the higher is the margin that you maintain. Lowest inventory investment, because obviously, as we said, keeping high inventory is blocking your working capital. And lowest distribution cost. So once you made the product, you have to actually transport the products to the customer, for which you may have to give it to the distribution network, and from the distribution network to the retail network, from retailer to the customer. So this journey has to be cost effective. So that is the lowest distribution cost. So these objectives are sometimes in conflict, because there is a tendency for sub-optimization. Every function, and as you know that all the functions in an organization have KPIs, key performance indicator. So each one will try to maximize their KPI, which may be in conflict with the overall goal of the company. So we will see what are the priorities of the functions and how they conflict. So marketing sets an objective to increase and maintain revenue with the best service to its customers. And for that, marketing had to maintain high inventories of finished goods, because what they want to ensure is the product is always available. There is never a stock out. And this is a fact. If a product is not available, then the customer is not going to wait for your product. So he may go for the competition product. So you want to ensure high service levels, which means that the product is always available and there is never a stock out. Even if there is a fluctuation in the demand, you want to ensure that you are able to capture the demand and maintain your supplies. Interrupt production for high value orders for non-stock items. So there are some items which are custom made items. Now these could be high value items. And suddenly the marketing would like to address or service these orders on priority, because they bring in revenue, they bring in the margins, and hence they will always try to insist that the production breaks the production cycle or the sequence and takes up production of these items, which is in conflict with the production priority, I would say. Create an extensive distribution system with inventories at numerous locations. Generally, what happens is the marketing people want that inventories are held close to the market. So imagine that you have 20 cities, where you are selling the product. They will want that you have warehouses in those 20 cities. so that you can cater to the requirement, you know, at a very, very short notice. Now, this may not be ideal. From organization's point of view, holding inventory at 20 different locations may be a challenge. But when you look at the service level that marketing aims for, this is the kind of aspiration that they will have. Coming to finance, so their priority will be to retain the investments and costs at the lowest to maximize the profit. And for that, what do they focus on? One, reduce the inventory. So they will insist that you hold a minimum of inventory at every stage. So when we say inventory, you are talking of the raw materials, you are talking of the work in process and the finished goods, or even the goods in transit. Decrease or rationalize the inventory at all locations. So if you have multiple locations, for example, you have the manufacturing site and you have the distribution centers. So let us say across India, you have got 4 or 5 distribution centers. They wish to rationalize and reduce the inventory at all those points. Because ultimately, when the organization looks at the inventory, it's not just the inventory at the manufacturing site, but the inventory across all locations which belong to the organization. If the distribution belongs to a third party, that will not be considered as the organization's inventory. But otherwise, I mean, if the distribution network belongs to the company, that inventory belongs to the company. Encourage large production batches and production runs so that product unit cost is low. Now, how does that reduce cost? Because when you have large production runs, you have minimum stoppage of the equipment. There are no changeovers. So that is the reason for finance, they will try and encourage that you take uninterrupted run of the production of a particular product or a model. Manufacture only to customer order and get quick returns on the investment. So there are two things organizations do. One is make to order. So you get the customer order and then you produce the material. Now, what happens in that case? You don't have inventory on hand, or you may have minimum inventory on hand. You produce the material, and as soon as the material is ready, the material is shipped out to the customer. So there is hardly any inventory, finished goods inventory, which is remaining in your purview. The other thing is, when you manufacture to stock, that means, let us take a company which is manufacturing TV or refrigerators. Now, they don't know what the demand is going to be like. So based on the past pattern, on the forecasting, they will produce the item, the product, and they will keep it in stock. And they will wait for the orders to come. So the orders may come from the distribution network or come from the retailers, or in case of e-commerce, etc., it may come directly from the customer. So in that case, you are forced to keep an inventory. And that is the reason the finance will always have a priority to ensure that the manufacturing will produce against customer orders, so that there is no finished goods inventory which is held. Production. So production's priorities, they aim for the low operating cost and reduce the overheads and implement short and long-term plans. Now, again, the same thing, if you have low operating cost, your product cost is going to be low. And how do you do that? So you have less variety, you have a less number of changeover. So that means you start, let's say you're making a car, you're making one particular color car, then you keep on making that color. And once, you change the color, then you again have a long run of that particular color. So first point, long production runs of few products with few changeovers, smoothening and using specialized equipment to reduce the cost per unit. So, equipment which will give you flexibility, things like CNC machines, etc., where the setup is very, very easy, that you just have to simply select a different program for, let's say, machining a new component. So this kind of a thing, you know, is what is desirable as far as the production is concerned. Demand high inventories of raw materials and maintain high work in process to prevent stoppages and maximize machine utilization. So generally, the production people, they monitor the machine utilization. They want to ensure that the machines are fully utilized. And for that, they want that there is always material waiting for an operation. So let us say that there are a product which has to go through five different machines. They will insist or they will desire that there is an inventory or a buffer stock before every machine so that there is no stoppage. Let us say that there is one particular machine which breaks down. And because of that, there is a stoppage of a process. Now, this will cause a stoppage on the subsequent process because the next machine will not get the feeding. And to ensure that this does not happen, they want high inventory. So when I say high inventory, they also want high inventory of the raw materials so that they can have uninterrupted run and also high inventory of work in process so that even if there is a breakdown of any equipment, the processes down the line do not get affected. Coming to procurement. So to save on the procurement cost, focus and negotiate best prices and volume-based discounts. So the procurement are assessed based on their the prices that they can manage. I have seen in the organizations how much price they are able to reduce over the previous year is one of the KPIs. So they will always try to negotiate a better price, look for new vendors who can give better service, better quality along with a better price. Now what happens is one of the things that you require for negotiating a better price are the volumes. Because when you promise a larger volume to the vendor, you also get a better price. So they will always try to focus on volume discounts. This is a common practice, you know, that you require, let's say, 1,000 pieces of one particular, let's say, component. Many a times, the procurement people will never tell the vendor that the requirement is 1,000. Maybe they will tell him that the requirement is 2,000, 3,000, because they are trying to negotiate the best price. And subsequently, when the actual orders flow in to the vendors, he will find that the orders are low and there will be excuses, you know, saying that, oh, the demand is low at the moment. We are also buying from other people. So this is the thing. So accept higher quantities that then required at discounted prices. So sometimes it so happens that in a month you require 100 pieces of one particular component or spare part or whatever. They will tend to take a higher number. That means instead of 100, they will take 200. So they'll say maybe we will hold 1 month extra inventory, but we are getting a discount because their KPI is not so much the inventory carrying cost, but the price at which they are buying the material. So the discount is higher if they buy 200 pieces at a time. There are other factors also, which we will come to a little later. Increase the space occupation at the warehouse, because if the warehouse is empty, since this is part of the procurement logistics function, so sometimes they also want to occupy the warehouse. Though that's not a very prudent decision, but yes, this is one of the priority of the procurement team. Excess materials and high inventories. So the procurement job is very, very comfortable when there is excess material and there are high inventories, because they don't have to run. If there is a stock out or there is a fear of a stock out, the procurement team is under fire. They are the ones who have to run to the vendor and make sure that the material connects so that there is no stoppage of work. So for them, they are more comfortable if there is a high inventory, because then they are in their comfort zone. So supply chain management is the synchronization of the processes of the suppliers to match the flow of the material and services and information with the processes of a business unit to meet the customer demand. Basically, it is to synchronize the processes and supplies with the customer demand. So all processes in between the vendor and the customer have to be synchronized, and synchronized in such a way that you don't have huge stocks in between at any of the points. So let's look at the definition, as given by Association for Supply Chain Management. Supply chain can be described as a complex network of people, processes, and technologies engineered to deliver value to the customer. And this is very true. Ultimately, what counts is the value that you deliver to the customer. And what are the values? So one is the quality, the service level, the cost at which you deliver the product. And when we say the cost, it's the total cost. So the cost of acquiring the raw materials, the cost of converting the product into a finished product, and the cost of delivering it to the market, and the after service that you provide to the customer once the sale is done. Supply chain management is the synchronization of the, now this is the same definition that we already covered. So it's a repetition here. So I'm not covering that. So logistics and supply chain. Now logistics is that part of the supply chain which plans, implements, and controls the efficient and effective, mark the words, flow and storage of goods, services, and related information from the point of origin to the point of consumption to meet the customer requirement. So logistics basically takes care of the movement of the goods. So supply chain encompasses a bigger role, including logistics. But when we talk of logistics alone, they are basically responsible for the movement or the transfer of the goods. So every business has a supply chain, from supplier who supplies the product or services. Then you have the internal processing and the delivery to the customer. Supply chains cover completes the journey of a product, that is inward supply chain. So inward supply chain is when the material is coming from the supplier to your manufacturing unit. Then there is the internal supply chain. Now internal supply chain could be the internal inspection, quality inspection. It could be the placement of the material in the warehouse. So you have the rack system, etc. And you have to, once the inspection is done and you have accepted the material, you have to keep it in the appropriate storage area. Once lot ticket is floated, so once you are ready to manufacture the product, this material has to then be issued to the manufacturing department. Then, of course, the finished product is produced. So even the finished product, you have to keep it in the finished goods warehouse. So you have to store it there till there is a requirement or an order received to deliver the material. Then comes your external supply chain. This is where you receive an order. So the picking is done, the invoicing is done, and then you transport the material to the next stage. So the next stage could be either your distributor or a dealer or a retailer or a customer, as in case of e-commerce. The last stage is the reverse supply chain. So you must have seen in e-commerce, it's very common that you receive some material and you decide that, you don't like the material or there is a defect and you want to return it. So reverse supply chain is again a supply chain by itself, where you have to collect the material from the customer and bring it back either to a processing center or bring it to the manufacturing site again for further processing, salvage, whatever the case may be. So what are the types of supply chains? You have the inward supply chain. What does it cover? Identification of a reliable supplier. And this is the starting point. So generally, when we talk of inward supply chain, we start from the fact that we already have a supplier and we are taking care of the material which is coming in. But the starting point is identification of a reliable supplier. So when you say reliable, you're looking at quality, you're looking at the timeliness of supplies, the capability of the supplier. I mean, if you require, let's say, 5,000 pieces per month, is he capable of delivering 5,000 pieces or is he capable of only 2,000 pieces? So this is identification of a reliable supplier. Transportation from the supplier to the manufacturing plant. Here, it could be either the supplier takes the responsibility of transporting the material to the plant, or you may be taking responsibility of collecting the material. And this happens in the case of automobile manufacturing, where the ancillaries are located nearby. So many a times the smaller ancillaries, they may incur a higher cost for delivering the material. So here the principal, that means the automobile manufacturer, will have his own supply chain which will actually go and collect the material. So transportation from the supplier to the manufacturing plant. Then we talked about the internal supply chain, where we said that receiving the material at the dock is basically the platform, you know, where the truck parks, and you unload the material with the help of a pallet truck or a forklift truck or whatever the case may be. And then you put it up for inspection. Once the inspection is done, then you have to stack it in the warehouse. Coming to the external supply chain. So from the dispatch dock, now when we are talking the external supply chain, we are saying the finished goods is already manufactured, packed, and it's ready. So here it's in the warehouse, in the finished goods warehouse. And once you receive the order from the customer, that's where the process starts. So the process would start, you know, with the picking of the order. That means first the product or the model that is required, you pick it up from the inventory. And in most organizations, there are batch numbers or FIFO systems followed. So it's not that at random you can go and pick up something. A delivery order is created by the sales and marketing team. So they have to go and pick that particular material only. Now, sometimes it may be in a bare form. For example, if it's a, let's say, a microwave oven, it's only in the microwave packing. Now, for further onward dispatch, maybe you may have to give a secondary packaging to it. So what are the steps? Let's look at it. From the dispatch dock to delivery of the finished goods to the customer, including the packaging, transportation, and delivery, and the reverse supply chain. So very important and critical for e-commerce or online businesses with return is a pre-qualification to do online business. Companies have separate department handling the return from customers. So as I said, you know, I mean, one is the supply of material to the customer. The second is the return of the material. And as we mentioned in the earlier slide, many a times the customer has opened the pack and he may have seen the product. So when it comes back, maybe it has to be inspected, brought back to a condition where it can be resold. So maybe the customer did not like the product. The product is perfectly all right. Then you can just, repack the material and put it up for sale again in the inventory. So you add it back to the inventory. Suppose there is a defect with the product, you may refurbish the product and put it up for sale as a refurbished product. So you are telling the customer that's not a brand new product. It's a product which may have been returned by a customer, but you're giving it at a discount. So example of a supply chain. So for manufacturing or manufacturer, the supply chain looks like a pipeline of chain, then an uprooted tree, where the branches and roots are the extensive network of the customers and the suppliers. So why do we say this? So if you look at this structure, the manufacturing is the trunk of the tree. the supplier network are the roots, and the distribution network are the branches of the tree. Because you in organizations have many a times multiple suppliers. Even for a single component, you may have two or three suppliers. As I said, it could be either because of the capability or as a safety measure. Because if suppose something happens to one of the supplier, then your production line should not stop. So if you have two standby suppliers, your supplies will continue and you will continue to get the product in the absence of one of the suppliers. Benefits of a supply chain. So by integrating all the stages of production into one system, the supply chain improves communication and coordination across all parties involved, reducing cost and improving the quality. So what we are saying is supply chain is optimizing the entire process right from the supplier to production to distribution in holistic manner. So there is no sub-optimization. So there is nothing like, you know, optimization only for production, which is not in favor of, let's say, the finance or the procurement. So you are trying to fine-tune and optimize the total operation. Supply chain planning for manufacturing process ensures the final product meets the customer expectations by tracking every step of the process, monitoring every step from raw material to the finished product's packaging. So monitoring means you also have a fix on how much inventory is lying at what stage. So that if there is a sudden spurt in requirement in the market, then you know what is the product which is expected, so that you can, what we call it as available to promise. So you can promise to the customer that the product will be available by a certain time. You must have seen this as far as automobiles are concerned, because there was a time when cars were available, you know, X stock. But there are models which are so popular that there is a waiting period. So here, you need to, even the dealer, if he has already booked a car and he has been allotted a car, then he knows that this car will be at his warehouse, maybe in a period of 10 days or so. So he can promise or he can try and sell the car before it even comes to his warehouse. Increased efficiency. So a supply chain decreases the number of steps between the production process and the customer, which increases the efficiency and savings. So the whole point is to try and reduce the number of steps. What it does is it also reduces the time which is required. And if the number of steps are reduced, even the inventory lying at each step will reduce. So this is one of the objective of a supply chain, which is to increase the efficiency by reducing number of steps. And as I said, you know, logically, the other things will follow. Reduced cost. Reduce the cost associated with producing or delivering of the product. Reduce the number of issues during the production. And coordination with other parts of supply chain can save manufacturing and shipping costs. So we have already talked about this, you know, that how we can optimize and reduce the overall cost by means of the production time, the procurement cost, the cost incurred, which we will see a little later. What are the costs incurred within the organization? And there are so many processes which are incurring a cost. Greater customer satisfaction. So helps companies to respond faster to customer requests and meets the demand efficiently, increasing customer satisfaction and increasing repeat business. So, you know, we talked about the visibility of inventory. So at a dealership, if he has a clear visibility of when the automobile is going to be available, he can promise to the customer and he can meet that promise. He can keep the promise. So supply chain also ensures greater customer satisfaction. So it's not always that the customer wants a delivery immediately, but what he requires is the accurate information. So if you tell him that the product will be delivered in a week, it should be delivered in a week. You have seen this with e-commerce also, that many a times when you order something, they will give you a date. And normally they will deliver it on that date or maybe a day or two earlier. And that is to basically ensure that you remain satisfied. Imagine that they promise a date and they deliver it 2 days later. That's going to cause a little bit of upset with the customer. Increased productivity. So supply chain can improve productivity at the workplace. Staff use the integrated supply chain software solutions to track products in the supply chain and effectively manage their activities with the information. So yes, we have already seen that in supply chain today, there are integrated softwares which manages everything from the customer order to the supplier orders that you have. And the software will help you order, let's say, spare parts or raw material or components as soon as you receive a customer order, so that you are able to effectively deliver the product on time in the shortest possible time and at the same time increase your productivity. Improved supplier relationship. Guide the communication between the supplier and the buyer to reduce misunderstanding that may occur. The increased transparency improves supplier relationship with benefit to all parties in the transaction. So we have seen this in the chapter on the ERP, that you can have seamless communication being passed on to the supplier regarding your requirement. So in the good old days, either you had to send an email or you had to send him an order or some kind of a request to supply the material. Today, this happens through the softwares. And what it does is it improves the time of the communication, very timely communication, quality of the communication, which is very clear, and improves the transparency, because the vendor is clear, the supplier is clear what he is supposed to deliver and by when he is supposed to deliver it. Increased risk mitigation. So supply chains help enterprises significantly reduce financial losses due to incidents such as fraudulent or compromised orders, system failure, and theft. So we will see this as we go ahead in the other chapters also, that because of the ERP systems, etc., somewhere the systems are becoming foolproof. So when you place an order, when you receive the material, there are safeguards, like you cannot receive more than what the order quantity is. Next is, there is a inspection of the material. So unless material is inspected, it does not go into your inventory. So till such time, it will show under QC. Once it is passed by the quality control or the quality assurance, only then it will get added to your inventory. Even when the material is being issued, there are controls. So what it ensures is that there is no loss of components, etc., no loss of assemblies or raw material, etc. So it, a lot of fraudulent things are avoided by resorting to the supply chain systems. Improved information system security allows buyers and suppliers to exchange information and share confidential data without fear of misappropriation or malicious attack. So, we saw that when there is a seamless communication, from your ERP system to the supplier or the vendor, it basically ensures that the exchange of data, confidential data, is very secure. Your system is also secure because you do not allow access to any third party or even a related party to access your system. But at the same time, the communication is timely and clear and secure. Improved product traceability. The ability to track products is critical to ensure that products reach their destination on time and without damages, reducing the product wastage and ensuring that shipment reach the intended customer. So you are able to today track where a truck is. So once it leaves your warehouse, you can see how far the material has reached. Also, it prevents any manipulation by the transport company or the truck, etc. So that, you know, they do not park the truck somewhere, or they do not fiddle or, you know, tamper with your products which are being transported. So same is the case on the inward side, that you can track when the material has left from your supplier's end and when it is reaching you, and in between. So you know exactly how far the material has reached. Efficient and cost effective. So a connected supply chain is more efficient and cost effective. It improves coordination between various supply chain layers, from initial supplier selection to final customer delivery. So we have seen this already, how a connected supply chain, that means an integrated supply chain, improves the efficiency, because it does not sub-optimize one particular function, but it optimizes the overall process. So it basically ensures that you have minimum inventory, the material moves very quickly through your production and reaches the customer in the shortest possible time, at the shortest, with the minimum cost. So reduced inventory, improved supply chain visibility, enables buyers and suppliers to manage inventory levels better and avoid waste. Companies plan their supply chains better to meet the production requirement with greater precision than earlier. So as I said, the visibility helps everyone, right from the raw material requirement or the component requirement to delivery of the material, the promise that you can make to a customer when a product will be available. So entire thing can be controlled better, and you can do that with minimum inventory. You can plan your inventory based on the firm orders that you have. So you don't, in many cases, you don't have to produce material based on a forecast and just keep it in your stocks. You can produce that material or that material first for which you have a firm order. If you still have a forecast and you are supposed to make the material for which you don't have orders, you can schedule it later. So these are the advantages that you have. So thank you very much.